Doggy.
Okay.
So tell me something. When did you start getting interested in all this, in reggae and dub music?
Reggae, from when I was a youngster, basically.
Youngster.
Yeah. It wasn't just dub music, it was reggae. And reggae was like the main music, really, for people in this area. You know what I'm saying? Because you had a lot of black people lived here. And who was originally from Jamaica. And so, yeah, basically, that was it, really. Reggae music was everywhere in Hackney when I was a youngster, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I got into reggae, really, living in Hackney, you know?
Okay, so you consider reggae being your roots?
Well, kind of, yeah. It's the music I grew up with.
Because do you have any connections to... Do you have any relatives in Jamaica? Nobody in Jamaica?
No.
And...
But all my friends, their parents were Jamaican. Mm. See, the people that I grew up with, that I went to school with, their parents come from Jamaica in the 1950s. Mm. And so they was like the first generation that was born here from the Jamaican. So all the music and all their inspiration came from Jamaica. You know what I mean? The music they listened to was Jamaican, their mum and dad was Jamaican, the food they eat was Jamaican. So, you know, that's how the reggae come over here, man, from Jamaica.
And you've been well, when you started as a producer in Virginia, you were well received by the West Indian community.
Yeah, to be honest, I never really had a problem with West Indian people or black people as a whole. Some of the people that used to fight against it really was white people.
White people.
Yeah, really. You know what I mean? It wasn't the black people. They didn't really care. But you get a few white people with it, they didn't really like it, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Alright, so you started around 19...
I actually started putting out records in 1989.
And the first one was
Stepping Time.
Stepping Time.
Yeah, man.
Mention a few artists you've been working with over the years.
Well, there's loads, isn't it? Look on the walls, man. There you go. Horace Andy, Orton Ellis, Peter Brogs, Junior Delgado, Culture Freeman, Luton Fire... Kenny Knotts, Mark Iration, Ijaman Levi, Freddie McGregor, John Mason, Joseph Cotton, Rod Taylor.
Ijaman Levi?
Yeah, I worked with him. Yeah, man. Singer Blue, L16, Russ I, Anthony Johnson, Ubi Azja, Pablo Gad, U Bran, you know what I mean? King General, Charlie P, Serenius Black, loads of different artists. There's too many to mention. You know what I mean?
Alright, so... who was the first vocalist?
The first vocalist? Barry Isaacs. I used to sell records in Camden.
Alright.
And Barry used to supply records. He used to be like a guy who used to sell records. And when I first started with Manassa, when I used to go around his house, he used to have a little four-track. We made rhythm tracks, we used to make them. I used to hum the bass line, like, and he used to play it. And the first guy I got to sing on it was Barry Isaacs, because I knew him.
You knew him.
And it was just like an experiment, yeah. So he would come down and start singing. Mm-hmm. We've done a few tracks back in the day.
Right.
You know?
And if you look back,
mm-hmm.
because 20 years.
It's a lot. Well, it's actually 21 years.
21
years. 89, 2009, 21 years.
Yeah. What are the most important changes that you have noticed?
The most important change, the biggest of the all, is that people from Europe started to like music. And that really helped us, because till then we wasn't really selling a lot of records or getting a lot of shows, you know what I'm saying? Or a lot of work.
So you mean that you sell more today than you did back in the days?
Sometimes, yeah. Not only sell, you got lots of shows.
Lots of shows.
You know, lots of shows now abroad.
Are there more places to go today, if you like?
The place has already been there, but there was never really wanted reggae or dub music. We used to go to France in 1990s, 94, 95, and do two-week tours, and play Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, all week. And sometimes there's only 10 people there. Yeah. There was no one. No one was into reggae or dub in France at all, you know, in the early 90s. Yeah. But we kept going and going and going, and I think it built it up.
You're one of those.
Yeah, definitely.
That's built up.
Me, our Bob Bush Chemist, Disciples, Iration. We're one of the first ones, really, from a UK dub that went there first and started the whole thing, really, in that respect. You know, cause we did do shows all over France.
It's definitely more popular now.
Oh, it's very popular in France, definitely.
But what kind of reggae do you represent?
I don't know. I play as a sound system. I play some music from the '70s, from Jamaica. I play some music from the '80s and nineties, and play even some today. You know, I play I try and play lots of different things. Right. Obviously, I play my own stuff as well, mostly, but I still play other people's music. You know, I don't think it's good to play all your music all night because it gets boring, no matter how good you are.
I can imagine.
It does. If you know, my favourite artist was Augustus Pablo, but for me to go into a sound system and listen to Pablo all night long, it would be boring.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, you can't play one thing all night, it would just be boring. You got to play a variety, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Maybe some steppers and some kind of digital style or something, maybe a couple of oldies. You know what I mean? A bit of variety. It's good.
Yeah. A digital revolution had taken place in Jamaica in
1985
when Sleng Teng came.
Yeah.
And what happened in England?
Well, in England, the whole Rasta thing movement was kind of finished, really, after about 81, 82.
Right.
I see the change myself. When I grew up in the 70s and up to about 80, 81, everybody was into Rastafarianism, Rasta, Selassie, Jah, blah, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
and it's kind of Bob Marley died, the dance will come in, then you have people like Yellow Man come in. Yellow Man, Ika Mass, Johnny Ringo, and from there, really, the Rasta thing sort of went down. The struggle, I call it the struggle, you know, like if you listen to the 70s music, it was about struggle, you know what I mean? Then it went to 80s, then it wasn't so much about the struggle, but for how much money can I get? More commercialised materialism, you know what I'm saying?
So material,
yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. That killed it, you know what I'm saying? People wasn't really interested in the struggle no more. Mm-hmm. You know, now they wanted to wear flash shoes, flash clothes, gold teeth. You know what I mean? Wet look hairstyle, go to dance hall and listen, man, even listen to disco music like Shalimar, bands like that. You know, a lot of people was into that stuff. So it changed, you know what I mean? All through the '80s, it was like that.
Oh, so you mean that the message had changed?
Yeah, definitely. The struggle in the roots reggae music, really, in the '70s, early up to like 81, 82, it was a message in there, struggle. You know what I mean? But then it sort of went. They didn't really care too much about the struggle no more. They'd rather sing about their nice clothes or... You know what I mean?
So if we talk about labels such as Unity Sound...
Yeah.
And...
Well, most of them wasn't really roots tunes, was they?
No, not really.
They're more dance.
Ring My Number, dance tunes.
You know what I mean? It's all about getting a girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or going to a dance and having some fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think there's many tunes that you could on Unity Sands that are saying Jah Rastafari or whatever.
Uh-huh.
There's not many. Maybe one or two.
So,
a couple of Dennis Brown tunes. The Exit there was pretty good. But in them times, that was it. Once that Sling Ting come out, everybody can make music. In a way, it's good, but in a way, it's bad, because the digital thing allowed people that really who could not make music before. Be able to make music, which is in a way is me as well. But the downside is there's just too many people making the same kind of thing, and then it becomes like fucking hell,
cliche.
It's yeah, kind of, and it's like a lot of it's rubbish. You know what I mean? Basically, but obviously you have to get some rubbish ones. But I don't know. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's good that you can actually make music, and you're not really. Able to do it without the computers, but at the same time, it's not going to make you better as a musician. You know what I mean? Computers make you very lazy. You know, even me, when I play guitar, I just go chick, all the way through the song before I can be like, nah, I just do how I just loop it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes you lazy. You know?
So you mean that the digital revolution has killed a big part of the creativity.
Yeah, I agree. I think it has.
Existed in music.
Yeah,
before.
Definitely. Well, listen, you only got to listen to the music. It's like the better the technology gets, it seems the worse the music gets.
Yeah.
You only got to listen to the 60s, 70s, yeah. 80s. You only got to look at the bands that are still going now who's still doing shows? Rolling Stones, Elton John, all these bands that have been going 40 years. And where's all the new bands from the 90s? You don't see none of them because there was no substance. You see what I mean? I don't know. It's hard, man. I just think the more better the technology gets, it seems the worse the music's got. I don't know. And it's not only reggae, it's the all genres. You know, look at hip-hop. Hip-hop used to be a great thing. They used to be experimenting. Look at Public Enemy. If you listen to their music, there was millions of samples in it. Now, what have you have? A drum machine and a bit of a dum-dum bass line. It's not exactly super creative, you know what I'm saying? I mean, some of it's really good. I like Dr. Dre. Some of his stuff is wicked. But really, if you check it out, the original hip-hop, Grandmaster Flash, when he was scratching and experimenting and, you know what I mean? It was good. Now it's just like being commercialised. You know what I mean? Same drum machine. Same guy singing about his birds, hoes. Got to get the gold chains, bling bling. Give me some money. I've been shot 10 times. I used to sell drugs. Now I'm all right.
Now I'm all right.
It's just, they just turned it into a money-making machine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's no experimenting going on in there.
But when it comes to the UK style of roots,
okay.
Do you think that the Jamaican development of the genre does correspond to the thing that happened in the UK?
Yeah, originally, yeah, definitely. I mean, when I first started to make tunes, I wanted to make tunes like the 70s stuff, like Think Twice or, you know what I mean, them Steppers tunes, Channel 1 tunes, very fast, heavy, that Shuck used to play. But until I heard Warrior Stance by Dread and Fred, I didn't think it was possible to make tunes like that with keyboards and stuff. But when I heard Dread and Fred Warrior Stance, I thought, wow, that's wicked. And it was all digital. And it sounded really good, you know? So that's when I knew that it could be done, that you could still make good tunes with computers. You know what I mean? And to be honest, in them days, it wasn't computers. It was more like you had a drum machine. You know what I mean? One drum machine, a little four-track, maybe. And you would play everything to the tape. That's how Manasseh used to do it years ago. He used to have a drum machine, make a drum pattern, record it to the tape. And then we play everything live.
Even the drums?
No, the drums would be a drum machine. But you'd get like a bar off, a loop of it. Record that to the tape.
But you play the bass line.
Then. You have to play the bass live, then the piano live, and everything else live to the tape. You know what I mean? And to be honest, it gives you a better feel. But I don't know. Nowadays, no one don't record nothing. Just 4-bar loop, innit? A lot of the time.
So, the people of the UK, they simply copied.
Yeah.
Things that
they're done in Jamaica. Yeah.
Done in Jamaica.
Yeah, but
back in the 80s.
They copied it, but they copied it with digital, not with real drums and bass. But to be honest, Shaka, Mad Professor, was copying that style from the late 70s with real musicians. So, you know, it's all copy. Everything's copy. There's nothing original no more. If you listen to ska music, it's a copy of some rhythm and blues song, just slightly different. Yeah, and it's no different. It just carried on and carried on and carried on. Everybody wants to be someone. Everyone has to get influenced by someone. Even the Beatles, they love Chuck Berry. And all them bands, the rock and roll, Fats Domino, they was their heroes.
And your biggest source, your most important source of inspiration?
I don't know, to me, in the dub thing, it's got to be King Tubby's studio, really. To me, that was the best, you know what I'm saying? First you had King Tubby's, then you had Jammies, Philip Smart, then you had Scientist.
Scratch.
Lee Perry was good, I love Lee Perry's tunes, but I always think Tubby's better. Tubby's had a better dub sound.
Yeah.
Lee Perry, I call swamp music. His music sound like swamp. It's like all these mad noises. And because of the quality of his music, he used to bounce a lot. You know what I'm saying? The difference is with Scratch that he used to record the band in his own studio on his little four-track. With King Tubby's, he never used to record the band. Most of the music would get recorded in Channel 1 or Harry J. And he would get the tape and mix it. So the recording, the hard bit's done already, really. But for the dub mixing, King Tubby Studio was the best. It always was. I always wanted to be like Scientist. That was my hero when I was a teenager. Put my headphones on, listen to Scientist, smoke some weed. You know what I mean? Do, 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 do. Wicked. So I always wanted to be like that, you know what I mean?
All right. What about the radio station? Did they play more roots music back in the days than they do now?
Yeah, definitely. in back in the day, you had Rodigan on Saturday night, and you had Tony Williams, and these were like proper legal stations, and they would play reggae all good few hours, Saturday night, Sunday.
And they played Serious Roots tunes.
Yeah, they played everything. To be honest, they played Serious Roots tunes, the latest dance, whatever's coming out. You know what I mean? They would play basically, whether it was Roots or Lovers Rock. You know, it's, you know, it was a different world, man, back then.
Well,
in my road alone, there was 3 record shops that sold reggae. Where I lived, I could walk 200 yards and there's 1 record shop. Another 200 yards, there's another record shop.
Are they still there?
No.
No. Are there any record shops?
No.
That area?
All gone.
They're all gone.
It's not in my area.
And what's the problem?
The problem is that you go online, everything's online. You know what I mean? Even the big record shops like Our Price, Virgin, they don't exist no more. You go to West End, Virgin's finished, it's gone. You know, all them record shops, if they can't make no money, as a little person, it's impossible. It's a download. It's the internet. Internet's killed a lot of things. Not only records, a lot of things, a lot of shops going bankrupt because people are lazy. Instead of going to the shop, I'll go to my computer, credit card, type in the button there, and they send it to you. Even Tesco and Sainsbury's, you can buy your supermarket groceries. You don't even have to leave your house. Which is kind of sad, really, because it's good to leave your house and go out, you know what I'm saying? The internet is a wicked thing, but at the same time, it's killed a lot of industries off. You know, and I think it will continue to kill more. You know,
today in 2010, mm-hmm. you still release your music on vinyl.
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
I don't know. Because people want it.
Is there any explanation?
Because sound systems still play it on vinyl. Not all the sound systems, but a lot of them do. And if you go to Shaka or Abba Shanti or Channel One, they will never play CDs. Well, I think Abba's played CDs abroad, but Shaka never. Is vinyl, and that's what keeps it going. People still, it's still more fun when you play a sound system. It's still more fun to play vinyl than CDs, even though vinyl is expensive, it's very heavy, sound quality is not that great. You know, CD is much better sound quality. If I play on a sound and I play CD and then I play vinyl, the vinyl is like a lot lower, it's not as good.
You need to compensate the lack of,
DBs, man, DBs. But people seem to like vinyl. I don't know why, I just do. It still keeps going.
So you sell better today than you did 20 years ago?
When I first started, my first few tunes, it was hard to sell 500 copies. And then we went through a period in the early 90s where all the people that, like the house music and acid music, they was kind of buying our stuff as well and mixing it up with the acid. So we was doing pretty well there. And then the mid-90s, it went dead. You couldn't sell one tune, man. It was hard. I nearly gave up myself. It just went from there down. You know what I mean? Nothing was happening. Record shops closing. That's when the internet started coming out. But
and
then...
It was around?
96, 97. Around them periods. 96, around it. Wasn't a good few years. Things are looking dead. You know? In fact, the only people that was really making music was maybe me, Disciples. Manasseh gave up by then. Dread and Fred wasn't making them. There wasn't many people doing it. You know what I'm saying? But then it started to come back, but this time not from England, from Europe, places like France, you know what I mean, Switzerland, like say Sweden, you know, they started getting interested in it, so oh, we'd like some of it, and they started buying it, and it just seemed to grow, and now it's quite good, you know what I mean?
No, I've noticed that people in record shops
mm-hmm.
don't have a very positive
right. I used to run a record really shop, but I had to give up because it just wasn't worth doing anymore. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. The world's changing, man.
And let's talk about the sound of the UK style of roots.
Okay.
Back in the days, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. Maybe you can describe the early sound as it was, as you remember it.
Okay.
Because... The sound has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, of course it has changed, no doubt about it. You know what I mean?
Because it was analogue in the 80s.
It was definitely analogue. tape machines. Even in the 90s, really, it was tape machines as well. You know, most of my first few LPs was all done on tape machines.
Really?
Yeah. It's only in the last 8-10 years that the computer's really come about. You know what I mean? But before that, it was all tape. I've got still got tape machines down there. I've got one there, 16-track. You can't really see it because it's covered up. Mm-hmm. But I've had loads of different tape machines. 8-tracks, 16-tracks, 4-tracks. You know? And to be honest, the analog tape sounds better than digital.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
In what way?
In the bass way.
In the bass way?
Yeah.
So it's heavier bass.
There's something about analog tape and bass. It's, some say it's distortion, some say it's the compression, but I know one thing, it sounds better on a tape than it does. There's just a sound to it. I don't know what it is, but you can make it, it just sounds heavy. I don't know what it is. You can't get it on digital. No matter what they try, even though if you look at the people there, they want, they say, oh yes, you must get valves, you know? If you notice, there's a whole thing about valves because digital's too clean. You know what I'm saying? But, I don't know, you can still make it heavy, but the tape had a certain sound to it. That was nice. You know what I mean? A very warm sound. And really, it's actually distortion. That's what you're hearing. But you know, you have to go with technology, man. Tapes cost £35.
£35.
And you get 4 tracks on it.
4 tracks.
There you go.
But you can re-record the tape.
Yeah, but then you lose your master tape.
Oh, you lose your master tape.
Then you've had it. That's what they used to do in the 70s in King Tubby's. Mm-hmm. All them great tunes you hear, where's the master tape? Oh, they rubbed it over because they couldn't afford to buy the tape. Shocking, really. You know, I mean, when you think of it like that. So, you know. You can make some guys come in and make 4 tunes in one day. So they can finish, their tape could be full up, they've got to buy another one, it's some £35. It's expensive. Then the tape needs to, the machine needs to be collaborated, the heads need to be realigned, all lots of things. It all costs money. The heads alone for the Fostex was £500. Just for the head. So if that wore out, it lasts maybe 1 or 2 years, then you have to get another one, another £500 just for the heads. So with digital, you buy a hard drive for £100 and you record 1,000 tracks.
So, I mean, it's much more cheaper.
It's mega cheaper.
Mega cheaper.
It's just unbelievable. If I had this equipment when I first started, boy, I'd be laughing.
But what do you need today? What kind of equipment do you need today?
To be honest, you don't need anything. I listen to some music that people make and I make it on the laptop. Without any mixer, without anything. And sometimes I'm fooled. I think, fucking, that sounds really good. And they tell me it's just a little laptop. I'm like, wow. Which is good, but again, bad, because a lot of studios will close down because they have no, there's no one wants to hire a studio no more because the computer has sort of done that, the job for them. Same way as if you go on an aeroplane. Now you don't even check in. Now you check in online and you just go straight to the gate. The person that used to check in has lost their job. Because the computer has took over the human, same as the studio. You know, it's kind of bad, really. But to be honest, I still think the best dub music is mixed on a desk, where you just do it live. It's like a thing. You don't really, with a computer dub, you can program it and that. But I think the whole element of dub music is that it's the live mix. You know what I mean? That's because you press play. You don't know what you're gonna do. You press play and you just do it.
You just do what you
just do it. Sometimes you make a big mistake, but a big mistake could be the best thing in the tune. Trust me.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And you could not do that on a computer because you can't make a mistake because it's all planned.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to echo this bit here and you sort of pre, and I'm going to do that bit there. And when you press play, it happens. Where when you press play on that and they go for the desk, you don't know what's going to happen. The echo might go, ching, it might go mad and fuck up and it might sound wicked. Some of the best things I've ever done was mistakes. Serious.
So you mean that you have learned how to make mistakes?
Yeah, no, what? Yeah, but you still make mistakes as well. Sometimes you can make a mistake and it sounds wicked, trust me.
By the way, Doggy.
Yeah.
You were born in 1960.
Four. Yeah.
All right, so you're 45, 46.
Yeah, very old.
Very old.
Yeah.
Not that old.
Well, not that young either. But I'm still here. We're still here, man. I'm not the oldest. I think Russ is even older than me.
I think
he's about 50. But he looks young for his age. Oh. He lives good life. He don't smoke cigarettes like I do. Mm-hmm. He don't drink. He just eats curry.
Yeah.
You smoke cigarettes, Roman?
Yeah, man.
Have a fag, man. Cigarettes is the worst thing, man. They're fucking...
I know, man.
I've got to stop, really. I keep saying I'm going to stop. I stopped for 2 years once. But because of weed, I start again.
Oh, I understand.
Trust me. I stopped for 2 years, and for 2 years I smoked weed, ital, you know, no cigarettes.
No.
But
that
must
be very expensive.
It was expensive. And you get fucking stoned as well, man. Mm. Really stoned, you're like...
Can't imagine.
Mm. My cigarettes, man. They're alright, but boy. Not going to do you no good in the long run.
So what's the message you're trying to spread? The whole
I don't know, is there a message? I suppose there is a message. I don't really say the message. The artists say the message.
So they write the lyrics?
Yeah, I don't really write many lyrics, to be honest. Maybe for King General, I do a lot of stuff with him. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff that he does, we collaborate and write together, you know? But most of the artists who come here have their own words and lyrics. But I always try and get... I would never put out a music that was... I don't know, hate music or anything like that.
So
always got to have a good message in your music.
What about the modern Jamaican dancehall? What's your attitude towards it?
Well, what is it? It's just another, I don't know, a lot of it's rubbish, isn't it? To be honest.
Most of it.
I can't really comment on that because I haven't listened to, I give up listening to Jamaican music for a while because I couldn't hear anything I liked anymore. So I just stopped. Right. You know what I mean?
Are there any other musical genres that you...
Any music...
Prefer...
I still listen to reggae, but now mainly it comes from not from Jamaica. You know what I mean? It comes from the Caribbean. It's like Jamaica, they shot themselves in the foot, if you ask me. They had this wonderful thing, reggae, and then they just abused it. And now they've got nothing left. There's not even no pressing plants in Jamaica no more here. It's all dying out. And really, they got themselves to blame because they just got lazy. Again, if you listen to the 80s, that's when it all started, man. People weren't making their music. They just copied the Studio One tunes again. I used to go to a dub vendor and he'd pay me 20 tunes and every one be a fucking real rock or another Studio One cover. And it's like, come on, man. You know what I mean? They're just going for the easy option, you know? And that just progressed. You know, progressed. And it's now what have you got? Dum, 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 dum. I heard, well, prime example, I was in a pub and they had MTV on the TV. I'll get Esther. They had MTV and it said, now we have a new... Yeah, man, like I said, I was listening to MTV and it said, the next track is by a big reggae singer, Egyptian. And when you hear the tune, it's not reggae. It's some pop record, but they still call it reggae. It's like, it's not reggae, man. It's got some piano. Ding, 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 ding. Have you heard a tune? Ding, 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 ding. It's a good tune, but it's not reggae, man. Yeah. A million miles from reggae.
What about UB40?
UB40 are the biggest selling reggae band ever. They sold more records than Bob Marley.
Really?
Yeah, it's a fact. They sold more records than Bob Marley. And to be honest, UB40, when they first started, they was fucking wicked. They made some bad LPs, man. Their first 2-3 LPs were great, but you know what happened? They realised they can't make no money out of this kind of music. Now, they start to make pop reggae. And start to make red wine, more mainstream, then do Elvis. Remember Elvis' song?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell. Which one is it now they did? I did a couple of Elvis songs and make them reggae. You know what I mean? Then they just went commercial. And said, you know what? We want to make some money. Forget about roots and dub. Because a lot of their early stuff, like Madame Medusa, The Earth Die Screaming, they was, if you played a man a dance, they were saying heavy. Because they're heavy, heavy tunes. You know what I mean? Proper reggae, proper. But they realised they're not going to make any money making that kind of music. So they had to change and make pop reggae.
But have you ever tried...
Wise man say, that's it. Only fools fall in love. Elvis! Okay. There you go, mate. Nice white boy singing reggae. All the girls are like him. It's why Bob Marley was so popular. You know, it's all marketing. If you book Bob Marley, he's not really black. He's white, mixed race. He's very light skinned. He's not like a typical like Shabba Ranks. Very dark, black. You know what I'm saying? The people in the pop industry don't want no black man. They want pretty boys like Sean Paul. If you look at him, he's more Mexican looking than Jamaican.
He's Syrian, I think.
Or Syrian, or whatever. But he's not really black, is he? But they make him out to be black. Mm. It's the same as Obama. He's not really black, he's mixed race. But they don't say he's mixed race. They say he's black. But really and truly, he's not. It's a whole big lot of rubbish. You know what I mean? To me, why can't they have like their own entity? I think the only one who said that was Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods first come and said he's a black man, Tiger Woods said, no, I'm not a black man. I'm half black and I'm half Chinese. You know what I'm saying? And he said, you have to respect that as well. You see what I'm saying? They try to make everything nice and politically correct by saying, oh, he's a black man, I'm putting him there. But he wasn't. You see what I'm saying? They have to have their own identity. You know, if they're mixed race or whatever, then that's them. You know what I'm saying? You know? It's all about marketing, man. All I know is I don't want no really dark black guys on there singing. They want nice, pretty, mixed race guys. Like UB40. UB40's perfect. Same as Elvis. They didn't want teenagers listening to black rock and roll music like Chuck Berry or Little Richard. But when they see this white guy now singing the same reggae, rock and roll, they say, oh, fantastic. There you go. All the white people can buy you. You see what I mean? It's the same with UB40. Even though when they started, they had good intentions. They love, because if you listen to their background, UB40 come, they love reggae. They're same as me. They grew up in Birmingham.
No, but you're white.
Yeah, but they're white, but they grew up in an area where there's lots of black people. Mm-hmm. So they're influenced by the music. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, right.
Same as Elvis. Mm-hmm. But you know, but the music they was making when it first started was proper, hard reggae music. Some wicked stuff. But then they realised they can't make no money out of that. To make money in the pop business, you have to sing about girls or going out to the dance club and all that rubbish.
You must sing what people want to hear.
Well, you must sing what the record companies want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Because the record companies are the ones who decide what you want to hear. You know what I mean? They control everything. If I went to the BBC Radio 1 and say to them, here's my new record, please play it. They tell me, fuck off.
Why?
Because they haven't got no money to pay them. When you go to a record company like Radio 1, BBC, you have to have a plugger. A man called a plugger, he take your music and plug it to the people. You have to pay him money. You know what I mean? There's no coincidence that all the music that Radio 1 plays is by Sony or Columbia or EMI. You know what I mean? There's no independent music they're playing. It's all by big companies. It's all controlled.
So it's very hard if you're...
It's impossible. It's impossible. Level.
But how do you survive then?
That's it. By the underground thing. By doing shows, putting out your records, hiring a studio. You know what I'm saying? That's it. It's impossible for me to get my record played on Radio 1 in the daytime.
What about the future?
Don't know. I don't really think about it, to be honest. Just carry on day by day, innit? You know what I mean? Right now, things are pretty good. I'm doing enough shows. I'm putting out records. I'm doing countless remixes for people all over the world, you know what I'm saying? So things are pretty good. I'm surviving, you know. I don't want to think about what's going to happen in the future. All I know is I've got a good back catalogue, and maybe in the years to come, when I'm too old to make music, all my music I've made over the years, they can still keep selling. Who knows, you know? That's what I hope for, but you can never know. Music is a funny thing. When I used to have a record shop in the 90s, all these UK dub tunes that you could never sell, I had copies and copies and copies. And in the end, I'd give them back to the artist and say, I'll take them back. Now, if you look on eBay, them records I give away back to the artist for free or whatever, for £2, £50 for one record. If I'd have saved all them records, I could have earned a fortune. You know what I mean? But you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen in 10 years. You know, in 2 years' time, everybody in France says, oh, we're finished with reggae. We want to listen to dubstep now. And we've had it.
Maybe it will come back to England.
I can never see it come back to England.
Why not?
Because the people in England, young black people, want to listen to grime music and jungle. They don't want to listen to reggae. Reggae's old for them. Remember, reggae's been in England since 1950s.
But you're trying to modernise it a bit, don't you?
Not really. What do you mean modern? I don't know.
Because your sound, your music doesn't sound exactly like the roots from the 70s.
Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely doesn't sound like it, no. And I just think the young people, they just want to hear grime music and hip-hop and... But right now, I have a delivery, so